When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, this week we have a brand new series for you. Today, Jeff Stormer begins bringing to you Doing the Job. Doing the Job is a Descended from the Queen game that is based around the idea of a professional wrestling show, except you're all booked for the show and you're not booked to win. It is a wonderful set of questions. The cast that Jeff assembled for this one shot is just supremely great. All fans of wrestling, all great, great performers, and just they really embody their characters so well. They introduce themselves far better than I ever could, so let's get to the show.
Well, hello, heroes. Let's go ahead and meet our players for this week. I guess starting with me because James is not here today. My name is Jeff, Jeff Stormer. I'm a podcaster, game designer, and the unofficial official LARP designer of the Olive Garden Restaurant. I am the co-host of All My Fantasy Children on the One Shot Podcast Network. It is a character creation, storytelling, and world-building podcast. With my best friend, Aaron Catano-Saez, we take listener-submitted prompts and spin them into fantasy characters. But for the purposes of this recording, I am also the designer of Doing the Job, which is a professional wrestling Descended from the Queen game that we will be playing through about a group of wrestlers who have been booked to participate in, but not to win, a prestigious wrestling tournament. And last but not least, my pronouns are he, his. I will throw it over to, going alphabetical by first names, I will throw it over to Fabby. Fabby, how you doing today?
I always get the alphabetical by first, then my choice to choose a name with an F. Hi, I'm doing good.
You're good? I'm glad. Give us your name, pronouns, a favorite match, a favorite wrestler, a favorite wrestling thing, as well as any projects that you've got that you want the audience at home to know about.
Yeah, my name is Fabby Garza. I am a Mexican-American trans woman and game designer and podcaster. I have written for games such as Pathfinder and Starfinder and Hardwire Island. And I'm the voice of characters in Island Playtest, which is like a JoJo Persona-inspired actual play. I'm in Moon Harbor Heroes, which is a teen superhero actual play. And I'm also one of the cast members of Season 2 of Otherwhere, also a teen superhero show, but more like in the next, not X-Files, Exiles, more than Exiles sort of way, dimension hopping. My pronouns are she, her. My favorite match is probably Chuck Taylor versus Robert Evans from Chikara from years ago.
Oh, classic. Are you talking about the one where you get slammed into the painting?
Yes! Yes!
Classic.
Maybe the best comedy match ever?
One of the funniest pieces of professional wrestling
it's
that I've ever seen.
So good.
He gets stuck in the ceiling.
Yes, no. People start shouting, please be careful.
It's great.
I love that match. Like, I love all types of wrestling, but comedy wrestling when done right is so wonderful and beautiful and funny. I can't remember any other thing you asked me. So
that's pretty much it. You got it exactly. You've hit all of the things. I'm so excited. We have not played together in a long time, and I'm really excited to fix that.
Yeah, I'm excited. Last time we played together, it was a wrestling game. I was using different name and pronoun. So
that's right.
It's been a while.
It has been. It has been too long, and I need to be better about that. All right, let's go ahead and throw it next over to our good friend Jess.
Hi there, I'm Jess. I'm Jess Kaczynski. My pronouns are she, her, and he, him. Do you want me to go right into my spiel?
Yeah, go into your spiel and then give us a wrestling thing that you like.
Of course. I'm an illustrator and generally a cool gamer gremlin. I illustrate for Courier's Call here on the network, and I draw lots of cool, fun things, but mostly you can find me on Twitter at AngryArtist113, knitting a lot because I don't have much time to do artwork outside of my day job. But one of my favorite wrestling things every time I'm asked is usually just talking to the moon and back about -1 in the Dark Order. If you aren't a wrestling fan out there, listener, you gotta look into -1 in the Dark Order because it is the greatest thing that has ever been given to wrestling. This crown prince, this little 9-year-old boy who owns a faction and just runs it like a little god, is the best thing ever. And if you only ever watch one thing, go to AEW's YouTube channel and watch -1's birthday fight. A man goes through a cake. It is astonishing. It will make your day.
Every single time. Like, wrestling cake, like, cakes in professional wrestling is, like, the greatest. It is my favorite Chekhov's gun because, like, you know somebody's going through it or it's going in somebody's face. And it, somehow, despite knowing that, it's never not satisfying.
I just, like, it's my favorite part. I love seeing a cake at the ring. You know what's going to happen.
You know it's going to be great. Like, I've never seen one where I went, like, that was disappointing.
But that's me.
All right. And last but certainly not least, we have Taylor.
Hello, friends. My name is Taylor LaBrush. I use he, him pronouns, and I am the head of Riverhouse Games. Riverhouse Games, weird queer tabletop. You can find us online at riverhousegames.itch.io. Everything that I do outside of the games is pretty much on an unannounced hiatus right now, including Game Closet, an informal chat show with queer and LGBT plus folks in tabletop RPGs, the RSS Defiant, which is 4 friends with 2 missions. The first is to have fun. The second is to objectively rank every single episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I'm sure that there's other stuff that I'm not mentioning or forgetting. I do want to call out, if people are interested in a specific game to go check out from the Riverhouse Games catalog, that would be This Is a Game About Fishing, which is a queer, eco-punk, belonging outside belonging inspired game, which features writing from one Fabi Garza, who is included on this call.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea. How did you do that?
Masterful.
I should probably stop using your Google account to put all my drafts. I really need to change that.
Admittedly, it also didn't help that you did write this draft for This Is a Game About Fishing. Like, you know, I guess it's probably flattering to have someone making fan work, but to do it on Taylor's Google account probably raised some concerns.
It wasn't fan work. I was trying to make a knockoff game.
Oh,
Taylor just took that wholesale.
Hell yeah. It's a very good game, and Fabi's writing for it is incredible.
It's a very good game.
Yeah, thank you. I have kind of a weird answer for my favorite match because it's a tie, and I will never put any brain cell into figuring out which is the better of these two because they're both perfect matches in my opinion. Content warnings for blood and violence for them if you go and seek them out. The first is Billy Dixon versus AJ Gray at Effie's Big Gay Brunch. It was the first time where deathmatch wrestling like clicked in my mind and I went, wow, this is something. And it sent me down the spiral to now where deathmatch wrestling is my favorite genre of wrestling. The second is a like 6-way tie between every single match on the card for Fear the Gay Agenda, which was an event that No Peace Underground put together, booked by Effie and Mike Pero, which is a big giant middle finger to every straight wrestling fan who has been complaining about queer wrestlers. It is very violent, very bloody, and it culminates in a last daddy standing match between Effie and Pero, where Pero sends Effie through a flaming glass table. It's wild, it's violent. It is a piece of queer literature on par with like A Normal Heart or Angels in America or, you know, like it's among the greats.
It is legitimately
it is iconic.
It is legitimately a work of art, top to bottom. Like, it is kind of bizarre to describe an event so drenched in blood as like made with love, but it truly is. You can feel the love and passion in every moment of every match on that card.
Yeah, it's It's also just like a spectacularly angry piece of art too. Again, like content warnings additionally for Fear the Gay Agenda. It starts out with a very brutal supercut of politicians and faith leaders decrying the quote unquote gay agenda. So it sets you up with hate and passion in your heart, and then proceeds to give you like 3 hours of catharsis with people beating each other up.
Hell yeah.
It's good shit. It's good shit. There's no other way to put it. Like, wrestling is my favorite thing in the world.
Absolutely.
And on that note, I think that it's time for us to play like a cool game about professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So we are going to be playing Doing the Job, which is a game about people who lose, but not about losers. It is professional wrestling descended from the Queen. Like I said earlier, it is a game about a group of wrestlers booked to participate in, but to lose a prestigious wrestling tournament. We will take turns answering questions about our experiences, our feelings towards the other wrestlers, and how we view the person destined to win the Queen's Cup tournament at the end of the night. When all is said and done, it is up to us to decide, was the pain of losing and the pain that we put our bodies through worth the experience of being here? This is a Descended from the Queen game, so we have what is a virtual stack of cards here in front of us, which is to say a screen with prompts that we will be clicking through. It's just like having a deck of cards in front of us, but also kind of like a workplace personality screening. And much like a workplace personality test, how you respond to the game is part of the game.
Yeah.
I look forward to getting fired from this job.
Yeah, that's fair.
I wonder what piece of copyrighted music will randomly start playing from the speakers.
We will cut halfway through to a very badly staged news report. So we have a thing here. So the rules of the game, the specifics of the game will be prompted to us as we play through it. So if everyone is ready, I will read the first card and we'll just follow through that same alphabetical by first name order. So I will go first. So we'll do Jeff, Fabby, Jess, and Taylor. And I'll put that in the chat.
Perfect.
So we'll follow that order. We'll answer questions in that circle and then kind of keep moving through that as we go. Does that make sense to everybody?
Hell yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Take turns reading the following cards out loud.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday at the Runnels County Combatorium.
Runnels County Wrestling presents the Queen's Cup Tournament.
The Queen of Pain, Letitia Chains, is retiring after 35 years in the business. In her honor, RCW is holding a 16-person invitational tournament.
You have been booked to participate in the tournament.
You have not been booked to win the tournament.
To begin, look through the champion cards and choose who will win the Queen's Cup.
So we have them here in front of us. I have put together a deck of 18 wrestler names, and two of them have photos, and the others will eventually have photos. But pick a name that feels right for the person that will win the tournament at the end of the night.
I'm in love. I'm in love with Preston Changeo. I love this gentleman magician.
I also love... Here's the thing. I am an absolute sucker for magicians. And it feels very good. I am comfortable. If Fabby and Taylor, depending on how you feel, I am comfortable declaring that this magician is going to win this tournament.
Well, as you know, I hate magicians. No, it's...
I'm willing to lose a fight, but...
Yeah, no. There's not enough magician wrestlers in general.
Frankly, correct, bold, and we should be saying it more often.
Mm-hmm. It is true. You will get no disagreement here from me. So at the end of the night, Preston Changeo, gentleman magician, will be winning the Queen's Cup tournament, which is immediately very funny to me, and I really want to know more about, like, one of the things that I love about Descended from the Queen games is like looking is like at this moment knowing that we're going to learn more about who this person is, and I have so many questions about Preston Changeo. Taylor, why don't you read this card and then we'll talk about our characters.
The wrestlers depicted on the other champion cards may appear in the tournament, or you can make up your own wrestlers.
Now, I believe we all have thoughts on the wrestlers that we're going to be playing, so why don't we go around and talk about the characters in kind of brief terms, and then we'll kind of start to flesh out over the course of the game, like, what we're doing here, a little bit of our behind-the-scenes lives, and how we relate to the other wrestlers at the table. Would anyone like to go first? I can if no one else is feeling like jumping in.
I would love to go first.
Go for it.
Because I want to tell you about Peaches the Clown.
So excited. Bless. Wrestling is not complete if there's not a clown.
I don't see nearly enough clowns in wrestling, but Orange Cassidy is clown representation. I will not be taking questions at this time. But Peaches is basically the combination of rodeo clown and party clown, because every time you get into the ring, you're fighting a bull and you will not win. And that's Peaches.
Breathtaking. I am playing Freelance Freddy Uberlift. Freelance is Freelance
God.
is here for the paycheck and here for nothing else, you know? The gig economy's tough. Sometimes you're driving a cab, sometimes you're suplexing somebody. The important thing is that I'm here to get 5 stars, and if that means I walk out of here with a belt, then I'm walking out of here with a belt.
Jeff. That's perfection.
I am playing Gabriella Darkness Gottfield, aka
good.
The God Trans Garfield. She loves lasagnas, hates Mondays, will break your heart and your back.
Bless.
Incredible.
Perfection.
She's a master wrestler, by the way. Just putting that out here. Her outfit is blacks, oranges, and pinks, and she has a cat mask. A nice lucha mask that's like a black and orange cat with eyeliner, of course.
I feel like the energy that we've all brought is breathtaking.
And I am going to be playing T.A. Mack, otherwise known as the Lavender Terror. He is a heel. He's a gay panic themed heel. So he is like very oiled up. He's just got like these tiny little booty short trunks. There's the queer triangle on the crotch. And then on his ass is like a lip print. So when he comes out before his music, like he's edited the MP3 that he sends to every booker. And it starts with just like a quick little clip from Community when the dean comes out with like his chainsaw and yells gay marriage, and then it cuts into his entrance theme. So he's very like satirical, like he's more over the top and kind of plays off of some of those stereotypes of like things that people are afraid of with queer people. But that said, and even though he tries his hardest to be a heel, he's one of those heels that's like super over. So when he comes out, everyone cheers for him, and he gets mock frustrated. And when he gets into the ring, he yells like, "Oh, this is so embarrassing for you cheering for me. I don't want to be cheered for by you folks." Oh, and it's a very fun time.
That rips.
He's like a combination of a few of my favorite wrestlers: Badger Briggs, Riley Jackson, Brooke Valentine, and Billy Dixon.
That makes me super, super happy. I feel like we're done. I think we're good.
Yeah, did it in one.
Recordings. I think we got it.
That's it. Cut. Print. We booked the show.
Yeah, we did it. All right.
I feel bad that I didn't describe the rest of Gottfield's outfit, and it's, you know, it's very basic. Black wrestling boots, fishnet tights, like a black skirt, a shirt that says lasagna with like a pink heart, and of course like a choker.
Amazing.
Fuck. Set the card that says 1, 2, 3 aside for now.
Also, while I'm here, her theme song is Manic Monday, but before it starts, you just get like a clip of the old Garfield show where he says he hates Mondays, and then it switches to Manic Monday.
I am shaken by how much I love this. just incredible top to bottom, frankly.
This card is stacked.
This is, and there's a magician? Like, really? I want to go.
Incredible.
You've already sold me a ticket to this show.
Yeah.
Fabi, go ahead and read the next card.
Shuffle the prompt cards and place them in the middle of the table.
Place the 1-2-3 card towards the middle of the shorter for a shorter game and towards the bottom for a longer game.
After reading the instruction cards, continue clockwise with the prompt cards. Read the card out loud and then answer however you like.
There are other wrestlers in the tournament, but when a card says who here, it refers to the wrestlers represented by players at the table.
When a card refers to the champion, it refers to the person booked to win the Queen's Cup at the end of the show. So, press to change it.
Yes, gentleman magician.
The other players can ask you questions or make suggestions on your turn, but it's your call whether to include them.
If you encounter a question you don't want included, throw the X by making an X with your arms or saying throw the X. That content is removed from the game.
If you draw a card removed this way, simply redraw. You may throw the X on a card that you drew.
You may also pass by handing a card to the next player and saying, I'd like you to answer this.
Prompts may be passed around the table until someone throws an X.
Continue playing, passing, and Xing until the 1-2-3 card is drawn.
Each player answers the question, and then the game ends.
The player who wishes to do so can draw the first question card.
Jess, would you like to draw the first question card, or would you like to go back to me?
Oh, beans.
Oh, yeah, I'll draw the first question card.
All right.
Who here has heat on you? What did you do to deserve this? Oh, baby.
Kicking things off with a...
Mm-hmm.
Kicking things off.
Pumping the gas out the gate.
Oh, man, let's see. I think Peaches has heat with TA Matt, because I think it would be very funny if they built up heat from being matched up against each other at one point, and just Peaches isn't taking it nearly seriously enough. Seriously enough. Like, it is a joke to be matched up against Peaches.
Mm-hmm. There's a thing, I'm going to pitch this to you, Jess.
Of course.
There's a thing that I love about the local scene here in the Twin Cities, where it's like there's 4 or 5 or 6 different promotions, and they all kind of draw on the same talent because like everybody's local. And so you get a lot of matches where it's like, this is the first time for this promotion that these two wrestlers have fought, but they have like a match history that's dozens of matches long. That I kind of like that kind of energy for this, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Hell yeah. And, like, sometimes we're tag team partners. Sometimes we're, like, booked on the same side. But here we're booked as rivals.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's fantastic. Next card, then, is for Taylor.
Hell yeah. What event are you missing to be here? And how do you feel about that? Oh, goodness. I think that there is, like, there's a larger promotion that's, I think, maybe on TV. This is the, like, AEW with the serial numbers filed off. And they're doing a big pay-per-view on the other side of the country. So, like, wherever we, like, if we're in every town USA, they are, like, in Macon, Georgia, or, like, Providence, Maine, or like, Seattle or something. And T.A. Mack, like, had a big fight with the billionaire owner of this company and was like, no, listen, like, I don't care if you have to drop my contract. I'm going to be at this tournament because this is where I started. And it's drawn, like, real life heat.
Ooh, I love
in that,
that
company. So he's kind of, like, scared, like, if he doesn't make a good showing here, like, is it all for nothing? Like, am I going to have a job with healthcare after this?
That kicks ass. That kicks ass. My question, you trained at the dojo with the champion. What advice did they give you in the early days that stuck with you? What meaningful advice did I get from Presto Changeo? Oh, I love that its gimmick is everything, right? Like, it is, it is, if you can find a shtick that works, then kind of never drop that thing. Like, it is, you know, Presto Changeo was someone that bounced around from a few different things, and when the magic thing kind of caught, like, they just happened to be good at close-up magic. And they were like, look, you find a thing that the crowd likes, and then, like, you know, you make the most of that. Like, it might not always be the thing that you want it to be, but if the crowd is here for it, like, that is kind of, you kind of have to chase them as opposed to, like, And it's not necessarily the right advice. It's not maybe not the best advice, but like it has worked so thoroughly for Presto that like I kind of can't ignore it. Mm. I see this man who is a full-on stage magician, and I know that he is going to win this tournament, and the crowd is going to absolutely lose their minds. And I'm like, I guess, I guess that's what you got to do. All right, I'll go with it. Next question is for Fabby.
Who here was supposed to lose to you until they complained to management?
That's good. That's good.
Juicy.
Ooh. Oh my god.
This is a good one.
There's some heat on this ball.
Mm-hmm.
Think it was Freelance Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
Is Freelance Freddy a face or a heel?
I think a face feels right.
I think Godfield is also a face, and there was supposed to be like a fun like face versus face match. Kind of comedy-ish, you know, and I was supposed to go over, and you just were like, I'm not losing to fucking God Garfield. No, are you fucking kidding me?
Damn. Okay, all right, we can play that
one. Am I wrong?
No, that feels great, and I'm learning about Freddy now, and I've got to admit, I like what I see, and I don't know how I feel about that. All right, next question is for Jess.
Ooh. Who here have you had a long storied rivalry with? Are you ready for your final match tonight? Oh man. I mean, we did kind of already set this up for me.
A little bit.
So I think I want to pass this one over.
Hell yeah.
Who are you passing it to?
I think I want to pass it to you with Freddy, because I really want to know what Freelance Freddy's rivalry's got.
I have an answer to this, and this kind of flows nicely with the previous question, and also sets up a question that I want to throw over to Taylor. I think T.A. Mac and Freddy have had a kind of one-upsmanship rivalry where like of that you know, the vein of we're both putting like who's the better athlete, who's better put at putting on the show. I think that we've had a lot of those matches where it's like we're putting on a show together, like we're like who is able to be the more dazzling like performer in the ring. And like I think that because you've been in this, you've been on TV and I have not, like I see this show, the one that you are at, I'm not going to get another chance at like facing you and really kind of getting to give the fans this coda. And so when I hear that I'm losing to God Garfield, I'm like, no, absolutely not. Like I'm not going to get another chance. Like we have been building this story together for so long. I don't want to give that up. Like, you know, I don't want to give that up for kind of a nothing handshake loss. Like, you have to put me in the ring with T.A. Mac so that we can kind of put the touch on this story, since we don't know when the next time we'll be in a ring together is. And so I want to ask you, Taylor, does T.A. Mac feel like this might be like the last match between, like, you know what I mean? How final does this show feel to T.A. Mac?
I think this definitely feels very final. And I'm running with the ball that I set up with the, like, I'm in trouble with my big billionaire dollar booker, and being like, if I don't know the future, this could be the last time I wrestle, because in theory, this guy could end my career in the business. And so I think this is T.A. Mac giving it his all, especially against Freelance Freddy, and like really trying to pull out the stops.
I love that. That means that we're going into this thinking it's a final match for very different reasons. That's real good.
Yeah.
So I believe, because Jess passed, this question goes to Taylor.
How big is the crowd tonight? How many are here to see you? Yeah, I'm running with this one little story beat. I think the crowd is like, it's big for an indie show, but it's still like small compared to what most people would think of when they think of professional wrestling. Because like you think of it and you see like these arenas that like WWE or AEW or WCW like packed. But this is like a 300-350 person show in like the auditorium. There was someone, I can't remember who, there was a show that AEW did with, I think it was Alan Angels, where it's like they mentioned that he was in the venue that he graduated mm-hmm. high school in. And I like that, even though it's definitely like a tenth of the size of that crowd. But it's like, it's very much like there's risers that have been pulled out. There's like 350 or so people. A good chunk are there to see T.A. Mack. Just because like they've seen him on TV and that's what got them like hooked onto this local promotion. But I think definitely the largest amount are here to see. I forgot her name. The person who we're doing the show for. Yeah, the queen.
The queen of chains, Letitia. The queen of pain, Letitia Chains.
Yes.
Yeah. The I think the majority are here to see the queen of pain.
I like
Letitia
that.
Chains.
I like that. Like yeah. Like a lot of people. A lot of like. Area wrestling fans are like showing up because like they remember seeing Letitia like on a show at some point, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those things of like mm-hmm. somebody's got an old PWI magazine that's got like an old black and white picture of Letitia just like, you know, bashing somebody's head in, and it's like just some, you know, those old grimy yeah. like gruesome looking old black and white photos, like, and they're like, oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a real like local like, hero oh, wait, oh, show.
Fine. I guess I gotta go to this show. I guess like you see a flyer for it at the supermarket amongst the like help wanted ads, which is my actual favorite thing about living in like a wrestling city is that sometimes I'll be at the supermarket and you'll just see this little tiny index card that's like live wrestling this Friday, and I'm like, well, all right, let's go.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, first of all, if you are enjoying what you are hearing with Doing the Job, there are a couple of ways you can get your hands on it. The first way is to go to jeffstormer.itch.io and buy the game directly from Jeff. It's a PDF that's all set up for you to be able to play and use a standard deck of cards like any Descended from the Queen game, and you too can have an experience like this amazing wrestling story that we're getting built up here. The other thing that you can do is you can become a member of the One Shot Patreon. That's right, Doing the Job is actually the book club offering for the month of February. The book club is one of the perks you get at the $15 or higher a month level. You get a free PDF from a game designer, and I'm the one who curates those and contacts those people, and it's every month. You just get a PDF. You get things from small companies, from big companies. It's a huge, huge selection, and I try to do my best to either tie them into a theme of the month or, in this case, to the game that you are listening to right now. Well, that you have listened to just a minute or so ago and that you're going to listen to again in a second. Anyway, supporting the Patreon is the reason we can do all of this, especially right now. So, as you know, James and Mel are out taking care of Project Falcon. They are not doing a lot of the things that they would be doing for money, like, you know, all new parents are. So I'm able to do this because One Shot is paying me to do this. The performers who are all filling in for these episodes, they all got compensated as well. So every one of these fill-in series, they got paid. They can do that. We can actually support performers taking their time out of their schedules to record a One Shot with money. Because of this Patreon, it literally makes all of this possible. So there are way more tiers than just the $15 one. That'll get you this game. But there's a lot that's available. There's the secret archive. It's really one of the best Patreons that I support. I get paid by the company and I still support it. So to that end, one of the perks that is available as being part of the Patreon is that James will read some thank yous. He did take some time out of his Project Falcon rearing schedule to do some of those right now. Let's get to them.
Margaret Boyle, thank you. Alia Ounce, thank you so much. Marsha Moores, thank you very much. Brett Raleigh, thank you. Eliza Hiller, thank you so much. Danielle Childress, thank you. John, thank you very much. Matthew Universe, thank you. Karen Loretta, thank you very much. Julius the Burb Nerb, thank you. Dustin Denny, thank you so much. Ricky Arturo, thank you very much. Schlons, thank you. Dirty Stocks, thank you so much. Parachute Cannon, thank you. Alex Indigo, thank you very much. Optim Pegasus, thank you. Philip Wilking, thank you so much. Catherine Finn, thank you very much. Regina Chang, thank you so much. Arlo Lee, thank you. Christina Kovar, thank you so much. Soul, thank you. Ben Turner, thank you very much. And True Crocker, thank you. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We wouldn't be able to make these shows without you.
And now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
All right, the next question is for me. Who owes you money, what for, and why haven't they paid you back? Oh, frick.
Mm.
I think, I want to say, I'm going to break this question a little bit. I want to say it's everybody. I think it's everybody.
Okay.
But, like, not a lot. It's literally, like, it is... So, and this tells me a little bit about, like, my gimmick and the gimmick that I've kind of gravitated to. I think it's kind of a joke on myself of, like, I'm kind of a little bit of a doormat. Like, if you need $10 to, like, patch up a piece of gear, or you need a ride to the airport, like, I just do a lot of those little things. And...
Like, you've covered dinner, like, way too many times, and
yeah,
everyone
right.
keeps
like,
forgetting to Venmo you at the end.
And so it just kind of, and, like, it'll be, like, if you need a ride, like, I'm kind of give you a ride. Eventually, like, the joke became that these things were all my job. Like, I'm a delivery driver slash waiter slash, like, all, like, and so, like, it's just, it is a history of everyone here has little tiny, like, that owes me some kind of a favor. And they haven't paid me mm-hmm. back just because, like, I haven't really asked for it because, like, just kind of, like, haven't found the opportunity to say, hey, like, you owe me. Which makes the fact that I went behind God Garfield's back really fucked up. Like I...
Real,
like,
deeply fucked up.
Yeah, well, it's okay. She owes you for taking her to the airport so she could go visit
yeah,
her
like,
long-distance girlfriend
said,
once.
I could have just said, like,
take
hey,
a lift,
would you
she called
mind
you.
If we, like, rework this? But I, like, directly, like, we never talked.
Yeah, weird.
Quick question, Fabby, is it God Garfield or is it Goth Garfield?
Gottfield.
Got it.
It's Gottfield.
Okay.
Gottfield, got
See, it. The Goth Garfield.
Gottfield.
Hell yeah. Right.
Got
or
it.
You can just call her Gabriella Darkman.
Yeah, I love either that. Way. I love that. Like mm-hmm. Gottfield owed me a favor, and I could have like the two of us could have talked, and I could have just gone to her and said like, "Hey, yeah. would you mind if we rework this because I really want to work with TA Mac?" And instead, I completely like went behind your back.
That's
you would have said yes. I'm like, oh yeah,
it does.
Conflict avoidance goes hard.
The backbone.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta cash in some favors, my god.
Next question is for Fabby.
You knew the champion before they were a wrestler. How have they changed? For better or for worse? I think the champion is like a relative of mine. I'm gonna say maybe like my aunt or something like that. Yeah, she's my aunt. And I knew her all my life. She's the reason I started wrestling. She was, like, one of the first people I told about my transition. She, like, supported me. She doesn't understand my current gimmick, but she's supportive. She's like, oh, like that cartoon character, but you're a girl. Cool. I guess I can see it. And I think she's just gotten kinder and, like, she's gotten softer in a way. She knows she's near the end. She doesn't fight. Like, she doesn't fight management at all. She knows she's, like, at the end of her career. She kind of just wants to do a couple matches and retire and, like, take it easy.
I love that. I also love that because that means that because... let's codify and say that Preston is he, she, they pronouns. I think that works. I love that mm-hmm. that means that they are like somebody that ties really nicely into the idea that she was like hard on the idea of like gimmick is everything. So when he heard you say I'm Garfield but goth, like they just kind of went, yeah, okay, if the crowd loves it, you go with it. Like there's a real kind of performance energy in that I sort of love.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of consummate performer of like, look, we're putting on a show. Like, I don't have to understand what you're doing here. If the crowd is responding, like, that's not my job to say if it's good or not.
If it pops, it pops.
Yeah, right. Like a pop is a pop is a pop. Like we're putting on a show for them. Like you find what works and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That is an intro. This is good. I love this game. This game's making me real happy. Jess, next question.
You're working hurt tonight. Why haven't you told anyone? Yeah. I think...
Yikes.
I'm trying to think. It's a shoe injury. It's one of those things where, like, Peach's, like, got a new pair of boots, but, like, hadn't broken them in right. Like, got them, like, way too recently to the match, but was, like, dedicated to, like, trying them out for a day or two during practices and just... blistered to hell. Like it is obliterated. No. So like every step, every climb is like it is not great, but it's also the worst. It's like not the worst thing ever, but it is like it's like a tight smiles behind the clown makeup of just like it's just for tonight. It's just for tonight. We got the week off after this. It's one of those like silly mistakes, and that's like a big reason why she's not telling anyone about it.
Yeah.
Is because it's just embarrassing. Like you should know better. You should break them in better than this. Come on.
I love that. I really adore that. Like it's such a small thing, right? Like that's great. I really love that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of small things, are these like normal wrestling boots or are they clown boots?
Or are they a weird hybrid?
I think they might be like a custom order. Like they might be like, I think they're modified like clown shoes. Mm. Like they found like a really like sleek, like brightly colored set of clown shoes. They like contacted somebody to like get some like ankle support into so that way they could like have some mobility without worrying about them falling off. But because they're clown shoes, they're still like pretty stiff in the sole and like the overall like toe construction is like too hard for what they need to be. And so it is. It's a very patchwork job, but
yeah,
like way too solid.
I ask because I am in love with the idea of Peaches going up to the top rope on clown shoes. But also, like,
it's a great visual.
Yeah, like just painfully climbing up in clown shoes ribs.
Just. I just because I love like I think it's because it's really striking in like the after like the like promotional photographs they take like in the middle of a moonsault, these like beautiful brightly colored shoes.
Yeah.
Like it's all about like the final result, but oof, the blistering.
I'd imagine Peaches does a killer step up in Suguri with those.
Mm-hmm. Oh geez.
Like just looks beautiful.
But ooh, it's killer to break him in.
Yeah, that's gonna hurt today, though. That's gonna hurt on this show.
Uh-huh.
That's great. Next question is for Taylor.
Who here helped you get this job? How are you going to repay them? Gosh, I think Peaches helped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Peaches got T.A. Mac his first job, like, period.
Oh, wow.
And it was in RCW. Like, this is a, like, big... This is a... I don't think T.A. Mac's, like, a big star on whatever this, like, TV promotion is. Like, he's definitely on their, like, developmental undercard, mid-card kind of roster. But it's still very much the energy of, like, TV star returning to the venue that he debuted in. And so, like, leading up to this fight, like, you know, we've had this, like, we've set up this feud, Jess, between Peaches and T.A. Mac. And, like, I think on Twitter we've been, like, doing a lot of promo videos against each other of, like...
All the time. There's, like, rude Photoshop edits. There's, like, really dramatic meme formats going on between the two of us.
The most indie wrestling thing, which is to say, several promos in a car seat. You know, we're indie wrestlers, got promos.
Yeah. And I think that to repay you, it's not like an explicit repayment, but it's like an homage. I think T.A. Mack cuts a promo that is almost word for word the promo that Peaches cut like 7 years ago on the debut show, where Peaches was like, I think Peaches was feuding with a different wrestler, like maybe even Freelance Freddy or Gabriella. Like, this was another match for you. And you were like cutting this promo of like, and I've got this guy who's going to come in, and you know what? He's a little, but so T.A. Mack cuts this promo that's like word for word, reference by reference, line by line, the promo that you cut 7 years ago. And it like goes viral. And people like, I feel like the wrestling blogs cut, like do this giant, like word for word analysis of all of these. And it gets Peaches like really hype and really over with people who had never ever heard of you before.
Mm-hmm. I adore that. I also adore the idea of the two of us just like in DMs being like, it's going great. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I love the idea of all of that. Oh, perfection.
My next question is, when's the last time you slept in your own bed? So I'm going to take this in an interesting direction. Mm-hmm. I think, and this ties really nicely into the idea that, like, I don't think I'm going to cross paths with TA again.
Mm.
I don't, like, I like my job. Like, and there's like, there's a joke in that, right, of the freelance like gig economy wrestler, like I have like a steady job, like I'm like an architect, like I realist, and so like in my mind I'm like, I'm not trying to get to whatever like TV contract or whatever, like this is a weekend hobby for me, like I'm not going further than this. And like TA and I, like you and I have built something really special together. And the fact that you're leaving, I'm just like, it sucks. It hurts. Like, it breaks my heart. But, like, you want something different from your career than me. And, like, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Like, this is the thing that I tell my coworkers and they laugh and they're like, that's a really cool hobby. And I'm like, it is. It is a really cool, fun thing. But, like, that means that you're going to leave. And you're also not the first person in my life that has left for greener pastures. Like, and I've kind of come to accept that. And so, like, there is a sense that, like, there is a ceiling for me because I have a life that I'm not willing to leave behind for professional wrestling at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, and that means that there is a definite ceiling in where I'm going. Like, I will never be higher than a certain point because, like, I've set my own limit. And that means that, like, when I see somebody really, like, going to that next level, it means that is saying goodbye, and, like, I have made my peace with that.
If you're cool with this, I kind of almost want to pitch real-life heat between T.A. Mack and Freelance Freddy, because, like, I imagine Freelance Freddy is, like, living a decently cushy life, and T.A. Mack is, like, hustling on TV, but I still think that you make more money than I do and have better healthcare through your architecture firm and like have the ability to like have a family if you chose to do it. But like T.A. Mack, like I'm busting my butt and I'm here at this promotion and I don't know if I'll have a contract when I go back to the East Coast. And like, I think that that's very infuriating given what Freelance Freddy has now done to Gabriella, because it's like you know you're doing this as a hobby and still you have like the privilege that you have to be like, no, I'm this weekend warrior, I'm not losing to Goth Garfield or whatever. Like, how disrespectful that is. Which, parting the curtain, inside baseball, Jeff, I love the angle that you've presented here. I Taylor want you to continue with that. T.A. Mack hates it.
Oh yeah, T.A. Mack despises it. Disgusting.
I love that so much, and I love that. Like, yeah, I love what that says about. It also really puts an interesting angle on the idea that like Freddy has like made like it kind of puts into perspective like what like there's almost a level of like it's not necessarily conflict being conflict averse as much as it is just like. Kind of an apathy of like, yeah, I don't need that $20 back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need like whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And like that probably like that I Jeff hate that deeply.
Yeah.
But I find it to be like the most compelling. It's so like it's so good of like that sense of like none of this really matters. So like whatever. Mm. Like there's a sort of apathy there that is super, super compelling to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it so much. Next question is for Fabi.
You got into a wild escapade with the champion a few years back. What happened? My uncle / aunt pressed a change-o when I think when I started transitioning, they were like, okay, I'm gonna help you out. We're gonna go out, we're gonna do things so that you feel comfortable and you're comfortable presenting and stuff. But we got into a fight with some bigots, and they didn't know that both of us were athletes, and we know how to throw a punch. So we ended up being up like five or six guys, just me and them, and it kind of made the papers. And like we both suffer a little heat because of that, but everything's okay. Everything still reminded, like that's what made me go, I'm here for whatever Presto wants. And like Presto put me on the show, right? The original idea was for me to be eliminated by them. And it's like, that's not going to happen now.
Can I throw out a suggestion?
Yeah.
I think that if you're cool with this, like I think that it maybe almost like that story almost helped your reputation as a wrestler, right? Like I'm thinking of like real life wrestling story of specifically of like real life wrestling stories of people that like got into fist fights and won, like that idea that like you can actually like Gabriella can actually like handle herself, like don't fuck with Gabriella. And like I think that had I not gotten the result overturned, you were going deep in this tournament.
Yeah. I don't think I was going to finals, but I was going to set up Presto, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like quarterfinals. And it's like a big emotional, they talking, they break kayfabe and they were going to break kayfabe and commentary about our relationship as family. It was going to be like big and tearful. And it just didn't happen.
That's like, damn, like
messed up.
Yeah. Wow. That's that rips. That kicks so much ass.
I have an important, unimportant question about this fight. Did the two of you thigh slap during the battle?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Of course. It's the most important part.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Make it look real.
You gotta make it sound real. She says
she's literally choking out a man.
All right, next question's for Jess.
You've wrestled the champion before. What went wrong last time? Well,
the battle between clown and magician.
This was really a match for the kids, I think. This was like a peak. This was like a gimmick to gimmick battle. Like the crowd was loving it. It was super funny, lots of laughs, a lot of like very like animated comedic movements, a lot of like silly misses, a lot of like over exaggerations to like very small moves. I think there was a spot that went wrong actually. I think because our costumes at the time like weren't like sleek enough. I think it was a period where like Presto and Peaches like both had like a little too much going on, especially to be fighting each other like costume wise, like a little too many bells and whistles. I think there was a spot that went a little bit wrong.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but those were literal bells and whistles, right?
Correct. There was literal bells and whistles. There's a lot of bells and whistles. It was a very noisy match. But I think they like went to do a move, which I can't remember any of the names of two people moves anymore. What the fuck? But they went to do a move, and I think they got tangled up in each other. And I think Peaches got like injured and had to like go out for a while from it. Like no bad blood, but it was just like after that, like their costumes completely changed like in the following month afterwards, because they realized like the hazard very like immediately after that match.
Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Mm-hmm.
Have you spoken to, worked with, like interacted with Preston since then?
I think maybe in a tag match, but like as tag team partners.
Mm.
I think they stopped. They like talked about it and like didn't want to get booked against each other for a while, mostly because it would also be like really weird commentary to go through. Like they didn't want they wanted to give it some time so people like wouldn't bring it up in commentary a lot about about the shoot. So they mostly just like did funny promo bits and like occasionally were like in tag matches like as partners, but not really. They didn't like get booked against each other again after that. Really,
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, next question for Taylor.
The champion recommended you for this show. Do you feel like you deserve the opportunity? Absolutely, I deserve this opportunity. Are you kidding me? For the work that I put in and day out, I made this promotion. You might think that Letitia Chains, the Queen of Pain, made this promotion, but this is all me. This is my shot. And you know what? At the end of this match, people are going to be chanting, T.A. Mac, T.A. Mac, like they always do. Because guess what? I'm the Lavender Panic, and y'all are just scared of me.
Damn. Put it on our shirt!
Damn, damn. Yeah, all right, I have no questions. Next question for me.
Master for promo.
Who did I let down tonight by being at the show?
Ooh.
I have a suggestion if you didn't have anything.
Please, yeah, hit me.
Is it like, maybe not your kid, but like, maybe your niece or nephew, or like a little kid that you're kind of in the life of birthday, and you didn't make it?
Oh, yeah, 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 100%. And like
your godson or something?
I love it being like, like a godson. Like, I think that's perfect. I also love that, like, I don't like Freddy. I'm not liking Freddy, but like
perfection.
I think that there was an element of like Freddy like was pretty upfront about it. Like, and you know, like was pretty upfront about like, I'm booked that day. Like I'm sorry. Like I'd love to be there. Like and bought a gift and like, you know, like handed off a gift, but was like, look, I'm booked that day. Like I've got an appointment. It's an important thing. People are counting on me. Like I can't make it this time. Like I'll be there next time. But like, you know, I'm here and I've got a job to do. So I'm not like, I can't change that. I can't move that around. Like this is where I have to be today. And like, just kind of brushed that off in a way that sucks. But you know what? That is how it is. Which means
what a real life heel.
Real life.
I love to hate Freddy.
Freddy, I love that Freddy backstage is just awful. And that on stage is like a wacky, like, I got a pizza.
Oh man, your Uber just pulled up. Oh, honk honk.
backstage just awful.
I can't believe, what a funny gimmick for a guy whose real life gimmick is just like, I'm a suit bitch.
Yeah, I don't need this. Oh, I got an Uber.
They're like, the gig economy.
The gig economy. Jeez. I have a work conference next week. I'm gonna be in Tahoe the whole week. It's I'm giving a keynote. It's gonna be great. It's a big opportunity.
I can't believe we're gonna have to watch Freelance Freddy get canceled on Twitter when everyone finds out.
Jeez. T.A. Yeah. Max in his like fifth squash of the season on TV, and he's like, listen, I'm on TV, but that guy, ugh.
Damn. T.A. is doing like the worst wrestling podcasts where it's like, mm-hmm. the interview shows, and I'm doing I'm doing business podcasts.
Yeah,
about unlocking your potential.
You're like doing conferences, like you're going to talks, like you're getting your dinners paid for at networking events.
You do talks about architecture and wrestling, and like you know one thing, the other one, but like you pretend like I'm a star abode. I blazed my way through architecture, and I used that same knowledge to blaze my way through wrestling.
You know, you find inspiration in architecture in some pretty unusual places. Like, let me talk to you about a thing called professional wrestling.
Structures are important to our lives and to our buildings, and I think if we emulated the structures of wrestling rings, then we could build better homes.
Damn. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel in his office at the architecture firm, he has a huge picture of him like doing a move.
Oh, absolutely, because that's how he that's how you start the conversation. People walk in and they're like, "Oh, wow, is that you?" Like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's me. I'm suplexing.
It's just my little thing I do on the side, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I hate this man.
I don't like to bring it up.
All right. Next question is for Fabi.
What does the career of the Queen of Pain, Letitia Chains, means to you? I think it means to her her life because Presto Changeo, like, always told her about Letitia Chains and, like introduced her to her. And, like, here, this is a way, showed her a pathway of, like, this is how you can have, like, a big, great local career. Like, Letitia Chains never made it to TV, but she's been here for 35 years putting on shows. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the area loves her. And, like, for Gabriela, this is, like, the roadmap to what she wants her life to be.
That's sick. That's so good. Mm-hmm. And I also love, I love then, that really tells a lot about, like, why Preston was picked as, like, the winner of the tournament. If she and Letitia have, like, this long, have, like, a history together,
mm-hmm.
like, there's a real, like, I'm kind of handing you this mantle, and, like, it's really interesting, like, the idea, like, just the name, the Queen of Pain, right? Like, it's really mm-hmm. interesting that she's handing this mantle to somebody with a magician gimmick.
Yeah.
And so, like, it speaks volumes to, like, who Preston is, that he is the mm-hmm. one that like how tough they really are, and, like, how respected he really is, that, like, that's who is getting this ultimate push of, like, this is the person I'm kind of handing my legacy to in a certain mm-hmm. sense. That's sick.
Nice.
Next question for Jess.
Who here did you drive to the show with? How do you feel about them?
May I make a suggestion?
Yes, of course.
Did I give you a ride to the show?
The thing is, I think it would be really cool if I gave you the ride.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's
like
great.
This time I picked you up.
I think that's great.
I really love the idea of, like, outside of wrestling, like backstage, like in like practicing and stuff. I love the idea of Peaches and Freddie, like, talking a bit about, like, talking through things and, like, trying to, like, get a sense for each other. And just, like, every once in a while, they'll just, like, talk about something that they're doing in the business, and it'll just be like, why didn't you just talk to them, bud? like I love the idea that, like, their drive to the show is Peaches, like, trying to talk to Freddie about, like, you could have just told Gothfield about, like, your plot desires. Like, she's super cool. Like, you can work through creative like that. Like, it happens all the time. Like, I know two other people, like, in this match did that. Like, I love the idea of them just, like, being, like, a little, like, a, like, frank but intimate, like, in casual discussions of stuff like this, like, on the drive over.
I love that, and I love that there's this, like, that, like, there is this particular sort of not evasion that happens, like, when you get like that, but it's this sense of like, his experiences are so tied to the corporate world, where it's like, yeah, but, like, if I do that, then I'm kind of showing that, like, I'm manipulatable. Like, it's kind of, you know, like, is, like, and is answering up completely honestly, but, like, there's this element of us having this conversation where it is clear that, like, we are speaking different language. Like
of course. Mm. Like, I think it's, like, Freddie's background is, like, super, like, corporate, planned out, like, very, like architectural, and, like, the behaviors and, like, everything has, like, the cause and effects are already planned out. You've got to do things these ways, etc. But like Peaches is super, like, community, emotion based, like, been like with everyone for years, like, very, like, on the ground of that, trying to, like, interpersonally, like, work through things. So I love the idea of them, like, trying to talk it through together and, like, not quite getting there. Mm-hmm. But, like, the baby steps, like, the little seeds are getting planted on their drive over to this event.
I love it. I think that's fantastic. That's so good. Like,
mm-hmm.
such a good, yeah. And, like, that it's that sense of, like, when you try to talk to someone in that world and, like,
not in a way that like you're both trying your best to speak to, like, you're both trying your best to like understand the experiences, but there are just moments where you're like, yeah, that's not how it works on that's not how it works on my end of the lake.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Sidewinder by Fillmore, Jester's Ball by Cast of Characters, Overcast by Tiger Gang, and both Big Wave and Stonehouse by Ian Koloski. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work anywhere online at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry, next week we'll be back with part two of our series of Doing the Job. Here's a quick announcement, I forgot to put this in the mid-roll. Starting on February 15th, I am going to have a live streaming series, a 7-episode series running on the One Shot Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/oneshotrpg, and we are going to be playing Iron Edda Reforged. Now, a few months back, there was a sample of Iron Edda Reforged here on the One Shot feed, and as part of the One Shot Network, my own podcast, Iron Edda Reforged Puppet Strings, features Jeff Stormer, who you heard today, B. Zelda and Alex Flanagan, and me co-designing, playtesting my game, Iron Edda Reforged. The live series is going to have audio that will go on the podcast feed as well, but we're primarily doing this on Twitch. And it features three people that I'm super duper excited to play with. The first is Big Bees, who you will definitely remember from when he was on the Price of Coal series here on One Shot. Bees Zelda, formerly of the Broadswords, and Danny, notable, just cuddly, lovable internet presence and the community manager for Roll20, also known as Brutal Dan. That series is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be at 9:30 a.m. Eastern every Tuesday for 7 weeks, starting on February 15th. I really hope you take the time to tune in. We would love to have you watching, and if you don't catch it live, you're going to be able to hear the audio of it on the Iron Edda Reforged podcast feed. There's more stuff coming for that feed. I'll talk about that probably in a later mid-roll. Anyway, the call to action this week is a simple one. The Voting Rights Act needs to pass. We know this. It's been months and years without it. But it's Black History Month. And if there is a group in America that has been traditionally oppressed and denied the right to vote, it is Black Americans. And that needs to change. It may seem like it's the same thing we're kind of asking you to do every week, but it can still be effective. So call your representatives and encourage them to support this legislation. It needs to get through. This needs to change. Everyone needs to have equal access and easy access to vote. It's a fundamental right, and it needs to happen. I really hope that you will take the time to make some calls this week. Thanks, heroes. And now we're going to have James take us on out.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.